If you would open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews 7. Part of what Sandy prayed over the children, I just felt was very appropriate. It was witness to me, and I want to say this for to all of us. And you know, words can have life in them. We know that there's life in the Word of God, and when God is touching somebody to say things about Him, about the Word, then there can be life in the words that you're hearing from somebody else as well. You've all experienced that. Husbands and wives talking and something said and something inside you quickens and you go, that was from God. That was from God to me. The Lord speaks, and when He does, there's life there. There's something to grab hold of. So if you, as I'm talking here, grab a hold of the life that God has for you. Grab a hold of it. Okay? So we're in Hebrews chapter 7 here. I wanted to say, as far as what Sandy had prayed specifically, is that she prayed for the children to be able to have a more real contact with Jesus in their lives, that He would become more real to them. I think that that's important for us. That particular aspect really grows, and that we're hungry for that. I think too many times in the Christian world that we can get so caught up in the things of God and miss out on God Himself. You know what I'm saying? I think I've mentioned to you a number of times the group that Kathy and I were with before we came back to the East Coast. They worship their worship. Do you know what I mean by that? They sought the feeling that you can get from worship. They looked at themselves. It was almost like they were looking at themselves in a mirror as they were worshiping God. How am I doing? You know? How am I doing, God? Isn't it great that I'm worshiping You like this? Are you getting the drift, though? You even in your worship, you can like the sound, the harmony of a song, or the words of a song, and still miss a connection with God Himself. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. God does want something deeper from us. This is unusual. There's not a lot of people, there's not a lot of Christians that really want to go deeper. There's a thing in our human makeup that becomes very self-satisfied just because we come to church, just because we've been saved. Thank God I'm not going to go to hell. So thank you, God, and now I'm going to move on to the rest of my life. I know that I'm talking to the right group of people here because I know you all, and I know that you do want something more, and that you do have an anticipation and an expectation for that God has more for you than what you have experienced so far in this life. Do you think that that is true?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, okay. I just want to make sure you do that. Yes. There is an expectation. I know that I have, and I think that you do as well, in terms of what God is going to do for you and in you and through you. But really, I want to talk here today about another aspect of Jesus. We've looked at Jesus as the Son of God. We've looked at Jesus as the power of God. We've looked at Jesus as the King of His kingdom. And now we're going to talk today about Jesus, the High Priest. That's what we're going to talk about today. So you should be in Hebrews chapter 7. I'm finding that, you know, if we can get our attention off of peripherals and get to the heart of the matter, which is Jesus Himself and your relationship and my relationship with Jesus Himself, that all of the peripherals seem to fall into place.
Yep.
You know, you can be someone who maybe hasn't spoken in tongues. Maybe you're afraid of it. Maybe you don't understand. Maybe you don't care to have it. Maybe it's just something that, is just that thing that's off there in the peripherals, off on the side somewhere. And you're even afraid to even think about it or even pray about it. Or maybe you're so into it that you want to be able to speak in tongues, and this is just, you know, you've got to focus there. And that is one of the things that is the things of God, but not God Himself. Do you get this?
Yes.
And so if we are people that really are hungering and thirsting for God Himself to be made more real to us, to have a much deeper relationship with the person of Christ Himself, at the right time, in the right way, you will be anointed to speak in tongues if that's what God wants. You and I don't have to labor over that. I'm just using that as an example. There's all kinds of other things that you could be doing. I think it is fantastic. It's been a fantastic thing for me to have that gift, to be able to speak in tongues to the Lord. Because when I run out of things to say, when I don't know what more to pray for someone, it just wells up and I'll speak in tongues. I don't know what I'm saying. I didn't know I was even going to use this as an example today. It does something. And there's a touch from God that gives you more breadth and power in Christ. But to talk about this in particular, to talk about how you need to have that, doesn't really do it any justice. It doesn't mean anything if you're not embracing Jesus.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Having that gift outside of Jesus doesn't mean anything to me. Yes?
Yes. Yes.
And that should be the way it is about anything of the things of God. I hope that that's how... I
know that you feel that way. Now, I say all of this because here we are talking about Jesus, and we're going to be looking at another aspect of who He is.
in the eternal sense and in and what he did while he was here on the earth. And if you look in Hebrews chapter 7, I think I will start in verse 24 of Hebrews 7. But this man, because he lives forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing that he ever lives to make intercession for them. Now, the high priest, once a year, would go into the temple and go into the Holy of Holies, into the very center of the temple, and there make intercession and sacrifice for the sins of Israel. All of this was a type and shadow. All it was a symbol. It was a metaphor to come into the throne room of God and ask for forgiveness and sacrifice and place the blood of the sacrifice there and sprinkle that sacrifice, the blood, on the mercy seat. That's what the high priest did. And we see here that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. That is a very powerful thing. What does that mean? What does that mean to you? I want to know. What does it mean that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for you?
He took our place.
He took our place and he doesn't ever stop. Right. Something else you want to say about this? Right.
Satan is our accuser.
Yes.
He's our advocate. And he's always making intercession for us because through his blood we are righteous.
Yeah. Through the blood of Christ we're righteous. And he's so what's that mean to make intercession?
It's praying. Place.
It's dealing with prayer, isn't it?
Yes.
And what does to intercede mean?
Come between.
It means come between. So, you know, So if God is here and I am here, I can't really come right to God unless Jesus is there interceding and saying, he comes in between and says, he's covered by my blood. I pay the price of that sin. And that's it. And so we can find, and I'll probably be reading this here, that one of the results of him being our high priest is, no matter what we have done, no matter how many times we fail, we can come into the throne room of grace boldly. Isn't that an amazing thing? How many of us think, I'm not worthy? Right? I'm not worthy to be this or that. I'm not worthy to come in. I'm not worthy to go to heaven. And we would all go, yeah, that's true. That's true for every single person here, seated. We're not worthy of anything. But we are worthy in Christ. And so, you and I can go boldly before God. Right after we fall, we can go boldly before God. I don't know what that does to you, but the scripture says the goodness of God leads us to repentance. Yes. It does for me.
Yes.
I don't deserve this. How many, you know, sometimes, you know, you come to Christ and you can have a swagger. He is beyond. It says here, verse 26, "For such a high priest is suitable for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as the other high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law makes men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was after the law, makes a son who is consecrated forevermore." Now, if you jump back to verse 16, it's talking about the Lord being made a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And then in verse 16 it says, "Who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life." I don't know Turn to Hebrews chapter 9. There's something more. Something needs to be done here. I don't know what it is right at the moment. Hebrews chapter 9. Let's see what the Lord opens up. And I want you to go to verse 11. "But Christ, having become a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" When you leave here and a week goes by and we come back for the next Sunday and we sing and we listen to a message and we have fellowship and there's ministry and things. How many of you think that that there is a growth that's happening with you? How many of you feel that way? Amen. You feel that you're growing, yes. Don't you? You can actually sense that inside. The Lord is ministering, and he's purging your conscience from dead works, so that we can serve God more. I think that is so, so awesome that a group of people want that. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 5, it talks about a man named Enoch. And it says that Enoch walked with God. He walked with God. You know what that word walk means? Anybody know? Anybody know what that? It doesn't mean just walking. Yeah, it's talking about a kind of relationship where you, that word means to be occupied with. To be occupied with. You getting this?
Mm-hmm.
To be occupied with God. How can we not embrace that? But you know what? I don't think that as much as we, God's working in us, that God wants to do deeper things. Don't you think?
Yes.
There's something that needs to, I don't know what it is, I just feel like something needs to be pulled out of me and ripped out of me. Do you feel like that sometimes?
Oh, yeah.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
These things that keep us from really walking with Him. Enoch walked with God. Now, we're walking with God, I think. But I don't think we're walking with God like Enoch walked with God. Not quite. I think that we're in process, and I'm not downgrading this. I hope you get this. I'm not downgrading us here. There's something more that I don't know. I don't know what's going on. There's something more that we've got to be crying out for. I don't know where to go with this.
This is a word of caution. That's what I think. I think it's a word of caution because sometimes when things seem to be improving in your life or as a church, I think we can become satisfied. And I think God is saying, don't be satisfied just because you're where you're at. Don't be satisfied because you can speak in tongues. Don't be satisfied. I was just reading in the book just recently that I was talking along the same lines, you know, saying that, you know, he related it to spinning plates on a, you know, they have those entertainers that spin plates on a stick.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they get one going, and then they let it go, and then they go to the next stick, and they get that one going, and then they go to the next stick, and you know, and by the end, you know, the first one started to wobble and it's ready to fall, and then he goes back and he winds it back up. And he was relating that to how our Christian life can be like that. We can be winding up plates all the time, you know. You can be a deacon and doing something there, and you feel good about it. And then you can go and you can minister to somebody and you feel good about it. And then you can go, you can do all these tasks, all these things that you're talking about. You know, you can, and which are all good. They're all good. But what happens is you get so caught up in doing those things, you forget about Jesus.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to keep those plates spinning. You're trying to really, and I think this is a word of caution saying, don't just keep the stick spinning.
Yeah.
Keep coming back to what you're rooted in. Keep coming back to Jesus. Understand that He's interceding for you. When you ask what that means for Him to intercede to you, it breaks my heart. That's what it means. Because I am not worthy of being interceded for.
Right.
I've done so much stuff and I'm still doing stuff that I just look at in the mirror and say, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
You stupid fool. You know? And then you got God who... Jesus there interceding for you, and you're like, why do I have to keep putting him in that position? Why would you put your best friend in a position to cover for you all the time? Doesn't that make your heart do something? Doesn't it just want you to step away and say, you know, I don't want to put my best friend in that situation anymore. I want to just clean this up so my best friend and I can just get rid of that junk.
Yes.
I really think that's what the message is.
Yeah. You know, Before I got up, the Lord said to me that I was going to be helped in this today. That He didn't just give me all this grand revelation, and He didn't give me all of these things so that I could be the only one to contribute to what needed to be said today. And I think that really helps to broaden out what the Lord wants to do. It's amazing how God works through the weakness of people. I felt really weak coming up. And yet through my weakness, He's still made strong, because it isn't about who's doing the preaching. It's about what the message is. And God wants to use so many of us, you know.
When Reggie said, you know, I think it's a warning. When you first talked about your former church, you mentioned how they got the worship was almost like a devotion.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, and we love to worship here so much. And as you're talking, I just had the hearer beware.
Yeah.
And I think, like Reggie said, it's just a warning.
I think I mentioned back 2 or 3 weeks ago about how important it is once God starts taking a body of believers to a particular higher level of worship, how dangerous that is, because spiritual pride can come in. And the Lord looks to the vine. He looks to, just try to just work His work. And so having Jesus as our intercessor, I think Rodney was saying, you know, how the enemy is there. Satan is there to accuse. And we all fall through the week. From one Sunday to the next, we all have our times where we fall, and Satan wants to accuse and keep us in a place where we don't go boldly into the throne room of grace, because that's where we get our help in time of need. And he wants to separate us away from God. But we have a high, and we need to understand this, we have a high priest who's already gone there and paid the price for us. Amen? To me, that's just such a wonderful, freeing thing. Because at the end of this age especially, there is going to be some very bad things happening. And God needs His people to be connected with Him, that He is so real to them, beyond what they've known before, how we can just be more connected with Him, so that His life is going to come through this very, very dark age, part of the age that we're in. The whole beginning of this year, the whole theme, I know, all through the year, no matter if it sounds like it or not, is piercing the darkness. Just keeps coming back to that to me. To be people that are going to pierce the darkness. The light of Christ really does have to live there. And that means Christ really has to live inside of us in a deeper way. Not that we know these things, but that we really are living these things. That we are occupied with Christ. You know,
when I
first started dating Kathy, I would find myself, being at my teacher's desk, and the students were taking a test or something, and I'd be there, and I'd be writing a big K, and I'd put these little
heart. And then I put an arrow through the heart. And then K and N. And then, you know, I don't know. There's some other things you want to tell. I can see already I'm going to hear about this for a while.
Give me your man card.
What's that?
Give me your man card.
Yeah. So you doodle. And because what do you do? Your mind is occupied with that person you love. You're in the process. I mean, you know, I can't draw a little heart and think of Kathy while I'm actually teaching. But when those opportunities come, that's where my mind would go. Is it all right?
Yes.
Your mind goes there. So your mind is occupied. Now, God has set up in our minds so that we can double track lots of times too. Where we can be thinking about things and doing something else. I mean, you could be washing dishes and thinking about something. You can be hauling in wood and be thinking and have your mind occupied with something else, right? So, you can do two things. How unusual was Enoch?
Unique.
He was really unique.
Yes.
How unique was Jesus? I mean, he's really unique. And God wants a whole generation. He wants a whole multitude of people to be like that. Is he going to get that?
Yes.
You see. Is he going to get that from us? That's the more important question. Is he going to get that from you? That your mind is going to be occupied with him. Because that's what it means to walk with God. You're occupied with God. God is in your mind a lot. You're thinking about him. You're talking about him. You're reading about him. You're praying to him. You're worshiping him. I don't think that we can get too much. I mean, lots of natural people would say that, wouldn't they? No, I don't. Don't be too crazy about God.
And yet,
God's looking for people that are going to do that. And I wonder how many in the Christian world really is walking with God the way God wants us to walk with him. We're walking with him to what we feel comfortable with. You know what it is? We're like Adam and Eve. We're still hiding. Because we're hiding from him in the garden. Because we don't feel worthy. Are you getting how this is pulling here? We have a high priest that's already paid the price. And yet we act like we can't come into the throne room. That we can't overbear our hearts more to our Lord. He wants to have this intimate relationship and we're still a little closed off. Yeah. I'm afraid so. I'm afraid that about that with me.
We still think we're not good enough.
Yeah. And although there's a truth to that, in and of ourselves, that's not the whole story. If it was just us all by ourselves, no, we're not worthy. And we do know that.
Right.
But Jesus is our high priest.
Right.
Jesus has made us worthy.
Right.
Through him.
The Lord, in the Word, talks about how we're supposed to walk, which means to be occupied with, a number of things.
We're supposed to be occupied with, it says we're supposed to walk in faith, we're supposed to walk in love, We're to walk in the newness of life. We're to walk in light. We're to walk in wisdom. We're to walk in the Spirit. Are we occupied with these things? You see, if I analyze it, I know I have a ways to go with that, huh? And if you say, well, you know, there's always something more to do, okay? Aren't you satisfied with where you're at? There's always something, you know. Aren't you ever going to say that, great, we're doing great? I'm trying to decide how I'm going to answer that. I think God loves us and accepts us where we're at. And He knows that the more we are making our connection with Him, the more life we're really going to have. Amen. The more freedom we're really going to have. And, you know, when we can be at a place where, when Reggie says, anybody want to pray for the kids? That you're so filled up with God, that you're so willing to be the one that God will use. Not because of your worthiness, but because of what He's done, and you want to give Him the glory. And you want to see His will for those kids to come forth right now.
Yes.
That you're filled up with the fullness of God. You know, Reggie says, anybody want to pray? All kinds of hands go up instead of... because that's not who... we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be walking with God. We're supposed to be occupied with Him. And what that does is, when you and I are occupied, well, the fruit just comes out. The boldness just steps forth. Yeah. I'm just using that as an example. You know, it seems as though lots of times it's the same people that pray. It's the same ones that enter, that are willing to get up and pray or to pray from their seats or whatever. You see, this has to change. We all need to be occupied with God. We've got to find how is that going to happen? Now, I know that's, you know, my question too. Well, how does that happen, God? How do I get occupied with You? You get occupied by being occupied.
More sensitive to the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. And more, see, as I think Crystal said about that leaning, you know, we've got to be leaning in His direction. So that if we, you know, if we're going to fall someplace, it's at least going to be in His direction.
Yeah. Fall to the right.
God is stirring us up. Because there's greater things that He has for you as an individual and us as a body. You as an individual. Did you get that part?
Yes.
Some people here are just naturally aggressive and you're ready to go. And that's great. We need, you know, that's good to have. I think most of us, however, are more the retiring kind of step back, let somebody else do it. God is going to change that. if you'll let him. He's not going to overrule you as an individual. If you're afraid, if you have that hard thing, you're afraid, you feel unworthy, you don't think that God can use you, you need to get that out of your mind, because he does want to use you. And he does want to draw closer to you. But you've got to draw closer to him. It can happen. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Chris, you want to say something?
I think we've all experienced learning in our life in whatever capacity it was. When we didn't know of something, a truth, a principle, learning how to read, learning how to do something as a child.
Yeah.
When a loving teacher communicated it, that doesn't even reach the realm of what Jesus is doing today. He's communicating in a way that we don't even understand, because it's communication out of the heavens.
Yeah.
Hold on to that. Because when a loving teacher teaches you, you may not know the subject that you're learning, but you want it more and more. You want to know it. You want to learn it. If you have a teacher that doesn't possess those skills and is basically operating just out of root principles that he learned, but a loving teacher will cause children. We're children. He's doing that right now. We're feeling the love of Jesus right now in this. Because of that, all of us here, wherever we are, on our level of spiritual understanding or perception or embracing, want it. Because we know that he is a loving teacher,
yes,
and we understand that. We're pursuing, please teach us, because we don't know what 2 + 2 is. I'm giving an example. You know, as a child, we don't know, you know, different things. But if a loving teacher is teaching us, well, you know one thing, you want it more than anything. Another teacher, we reject it. And this is the beauty. God has given us the heavenlies right here. Enoch was walking in the heavenlies.
Yeah.
And that's where Jesus wants us. We need to get over the fact that we can't cut it.
Yeah.
We never will.
Yeah.
That's why salvation, the real meaning is that he wants us to be saved so we can get over that complication of we're not worthy. That holds us back. Let's get rid of that. Get over that.
Yeah.
But embrace that shed blood and the salvation we possess, because that's really why he did it. So he could bring us with him. And the longer we hold on to that, I'm not good enough, I'm not going to make it, that's just slowing us down. That's retarding us. Sorry, but that is retarding us.
Yeah.
We need to get over it, because he wants us with him.
Yes.
And if we can continue getting rid of that, I'm not worthy, I can't cut it, I'm not doing it, that's where he wants us to bring us, to the heavenlies. That's what this is.
Yeah.
When you talked about the kingdom last week, this is the kingdom more than we ever understood the word kingdom.
Yeah.
We didn't know what kingdom means. This is kingdom.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What remind him of this when the news comes on?
Why spoil the truth? I'm working on it, okay? I'm working on it. I gotta get that part out.
We're all with you on that. Yeah.
I just keep thinking, Christ has covered us. Therefore, we're not really there when God looks at us. God is seeing Christ.
Yeah.
And so this self-centered thing about, oh, should I be doing this? What if I say this? Somebody's going to think that. You know, it's Christ that God is seeing when he's looking at us.
Yeah, because Christ is...
He's
in between. He's stepped between.
Come on.
Yeah. I don't know if we're really... I'm pretty much done. I got one more scripture. But, you know, others of you, If you feel free to speak up about this, Rob.
Well, I kind of look at it as, you know, the justice system that we have today with the judge, the prosecutor, and the lawyer, it's kind of like how it is in heaven. Satan is always our accuser. Jesus is our advocate. We're sitting at the table next to Jesus. We're nice and quiet. If we let him speak, the case is won. Because his words are spirit, they bring life. If we speak contrary to the word of God, we line up with the prosecutor.
Doesn't that
God can't help you. Because you're speaking the words into existence that come contrary to the word of God. So sometimes it's best we say nothing and ask Jesus for forgiveness and let him prosecute the case for us. And don't speak against the word of God.
Case in point, this whole thing about saying that we're unworthy. That isn't how God looks at us. When you're going through a situation and you go, I guess God doesn't care about me. Because look what's going on in my life. He doesn't care for me. That's contrary to what is the truth about who God is. Right? And so we give power to that accuser.
Amen.
And that has to stop. Because those kinds of thoughts separate you from God.
That's right.
That's the accuser's purpose. That's Satan's purpose. Is to separate you further from God so that you're not occupied with him. You're occupied with yourself.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so we're going to conclude in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I don't know what's going on.
It's the wire.
It's the wire. Maybe it's in the back. When you're moving, it clicks on.
It's the what?
It's next to the things.
Okay. All right. 2 Corinthians 5. Let's remember this. Because the blood of Christ covers us. He is our high priest. And this is what has happened to us. Verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he or she is a new creature. A unique creature. A person like Enoch, who walked with God. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us. What's that mean? We're brought back in. We're restored.
Restored us to favor.
Yeah, we're restored to favor. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, right? Reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given up to us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, now that we have been reconciled, now we have a ministry to let other people know that God is doing that for them if they will accept it. How about that? To wit, that Christ was, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation.
Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Be brought back in closer to God. Occupy your mind, occupy your heart with God. So now, that's something that you've got to work your way through. How's that going to be done? You've got to ask God to help you, to be reminded, to lean in His direction more. Yeah?
Yes.
There can be, and I think that there is, though it's coming through weakness of speech, there is power in the Word of God. Do you believe, therefore, that you are a new creature in Christ, one who does not need to be thinking of yourself as unworthy, as with no ability, that can't be used? Do you think that that's what God is saying to you? That you're just a little bump on a log waiting for Jesus to come? Come on. And you know, many people do deep down inside. That's what you think. You're just gonna bide your time. When God wants to use you, you are a new creature in Christ. How about that? That's something else. God needs the laborers to go out into the harvest field. You know what should be happening? And I'm going to tell you, I pray to God it's going to be happening here. More and more people are going to have words to speak. And more people are going to be called to go out someplace else. And as people go out, new people are going to be coming in. And those new people are going to need to have the right kind of training, I'll say. The right kind of input that comes from the rest of us. So that they grow in the right way. So they're not just looking for one person to feed them. They're in the Word themselves. Yeah? And so when that person, whoever is preaching, is bringing a word, there's a confirmation, a bam, just like that. You're full of God. What am I doing here? Come on. I can see the possibilities. I'm looking around. There's so much possibility and opportunity among all of us to walk with God to that degree that we're occupied with Him, that when the right time comes and the right person comes along and they open a door and you recognize that a door is open and you step through it and you actually have the words to say to that person. The other thing that happens is that your life, you're listening to God. Nope, don't think I'm going to go in that direction in my thoughts or in my actions. No, I'm not going to react that way. And people see this. People see your conduct. You can talk all about Jesus you want. But if your conduct isn't lining up, people are going to say, well, he's a hypocrite. She's a hypocrite. How much has that happened to the church? Because they don't see a darn difference between the church and the people that are outside. They talk Jesus, but they don't really have a relationship with Jesus. Because Jesus changes us. Are we really going to be a real witness to the world?
are we just going to be gabbers that have words that are acceptable in the church realm? You know what I'm saying here? Something more real. Something deeper and more real. We're ready to step more into. Are you ready for that? I read this. Go ahead.
1 Corinthians 4, 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. One person, he's not using his gift, well, everybody else.
Yeah, it's true. And this is going to change. I think if you'll let him, if you'll let the Lord. Are you listening? Are you listening to what's being said? Because this is God through me speaking to you. When's this bald guy going to be finished? I don't think God is not finished yet. God is not finished yet. He's trying to pound some of the hard foreheads that we have and hard hearts.
Unforgiveness.
Yeah. Do you want to walk with them?
Yes.
More than you are now. I mean, we're all walking with God to some degree. I'd like to be like Enoch, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. There's a great freedom that comes with this.
There is.
It's incredible. You can either, if you like freedom, and you live in the United States, we like freedom, right? That's like a big push, right? We love freedom, right? There is a great freedom that comes with being like this. If you like being oppressed, then don't do anything. Stay oppressed. Keep those chains on you. Keep people telling you can't say this and you can't do that and you're not good enough for this and you're not good enough for that. There is there's a song I've been listening to too that's kind of like been a theme this week for me. It's You're Dying to Live.
Yeah.
You're dying to live. It's kind of a play on words, isn't it? I mean,
yes.
We're dying so that we can live. We're getting rid of all the stuff that holds us back so that we can live and be in freedom. There is a side effect to stepping out in this stuff. You gotta take that and go with it. Allow Jesus to free you up. Allow Jesus to make you the person that he actually sees in you. Not what we see, but what he sees in us.
Yeah, absolutely. Somebody had a hand up. Joe.
Yeah, some of the problem is getting out of your comfort zone. People are worried about what other people are going to say if they get up in prayer, if they, you know, and like Reggie just said, with the freedom. We have a right. We have an obligation to pray for God. I mean, he had an obligation to die for us. How hard is it for us to get up and pray for him? We should not be afraid to. And it's mainly a comfort zone. I'm sitting here and I was thinking, I'm like, some of the problem is, and I don't mean to offend anybody, but the old generation sat in church with their hands on their lap and that was it. There was no clapping, there was no raising hands, there was nothing. So people were trained in that way.
Yeah.
So the younger generation now is coming out and they're pushing us to sit there and get out of our comfort zone. And that's what we all need to do.
Yeah.
You know?
There is an unlearning. That's real. It really is true. When like that. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
So in addition to what Joe was just saying, I think, you know, through the Holy Spirit, if we are uncomfortable, if we have an issue with going out and being right in this world, is in prayer and having the Holy Spirit, and praying for the Holy Spirit to work and give you the words. You know, I think our relationship with the Holy Spirit inside of us will make that change.
Yeah.
We'll complete it so that we can have the words to say.
Yes.
It's not our words.
That's right.
When I did the men's meeting, I prayed diligently for the Holy Spirit to bring out whatever the Holy Spirit wanted to bring out. And whenever I have an urge to say something, it's not what I want to say, it's what the Holy Spirit has to offer. And I think everyone would just let the Holy Spirit act through us. All of this stuff goes away. What does somebody going to say about it? This doesn't matter. And we need to let the Holy Spirit flow more freely through us.
Absolutely. We did.
Yep.
So, walking with God, yes, sir.
I feel like what the Lord has kind of said to me today is that, Heather, you accept me as your Savior. You let me save you.
Yeah.
Let my blood wash over you. But you accept me as the intercessor, if that's a word, in your life. You accept me when you're there and you're facing that darkness, that decision that you know you shouldn't be making, whether it be snapping at my grandmother or maybe not being as gentle as I should in my parenting. Do you let me intercede right there? Do you accept my power? Do you accept my strength? Do you accept me in your life right there to say, no, Satan, you do not have the stronghold here. I'm in control of this person. This is my soldier. And do you accept me as intercessor? That was just all. It kept on going through my head and going through my head. Do you accept me as Savior? Do you accept me as the intercessor?
Amen.
You know?
The realization of Christ as our high priest, our intercessor, our high priest, is such an important thing, because that really is a foundational place that we step to. Because I think we all noticed, as has been mentioned by numerous people, that this unworthiness, this fear, these many things that really do hold us back from really just being so free in Christ, is because we don't really have the depth of understanding of what Jesus really did do. How free we really are. How bold we really can be in coming into the throne of grace. That we are accepted in the Beloved.
Yeah.
You know?
And if you are there, which is the point where I feel like I'm more at, then are you letting him in? Are you letting him make a change in your life?
Yeah.
And you accept him, you love him, you say, I'm not worthy, you are amazing, but do you actually say, come in? And even though this is a hard decision to make or a hard thing for my flesh to do, I let you in to do with me as you please.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I think what was mentioned last week, you know, we must decrease and he must increase.
Yeah.
And what Reggie's wife said, what Carla said last week, you know, this whole thing about when we lose our life, we gain it. Paradoxical, but it's true.
And I'm just hearing everyone talking and saying everything. A verse just came into my mind, and it's Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yeah, that's right.
So something to really think
about. And she just wrote that on Ben's hand, by the way.
Yeah. I thought of it. I'm like, oh, that's a good verse, man. I just wrote it on. It's a good verse for everyone. It really is.
Yeah, that's true. Because, and this is very true for every single person here. You know, to give you the impetus to be available to God wherever you're at, in whatever kind of situation, even if you have stumbled and fell, you can pick yourself back up. Amen.
Sorry.
Is he okay?
Just letting him get it out. He's not too good with his swallowing.
That's how we are, aren't we? We're not too good with swallowing some of the food that the Lord gives us sometimes. But
chew it better.
Yep, we got to chew on it better. Thank you.
He doesn't
talk
good.
Right. Oh, gentle.
It's because he's wearing black and gold with the Boston Bruins.
Go ahead, Doug.
I just wanted to share a couple things with Scott. Back about when I first got saved back in 85, the Methodist Church in the basement. It was a transforming time back then, and I received Christ as my Savior. and I received salvation. And the paradox, too, is like when Jesus, you know, he walked the earth, but he didn't do his first miracle until the Holy Spirit fell upon him.
Right.
Okay, and that's the same with us. And then if you, later on in my walk, it was my sister-in-law at the time, and Sandy had prayed for me. He said, do you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And I was kind of afraid of that. Don't know why, but I was born again. So anyway, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit at my mother's house. They were praying over me and stuff like that. I said, okay, I'll accept that. And that was a transformation, because it's from the time of my salvation until the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Even though when I got saved, it changed my life, but it was a short time later, you couldn't tell I was saved. Because there was no discipleship, there was no power. When I read the Word, I didn't really understand the Word. But after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Word started coming to me. They transformed me, in a sense. And I see a lot of that today. It's like when she just got baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's awesome. It transformed her, you know, in a sense. And then I found that in Acts 19, you know, Paul goes about, he says to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to them, we have not so much as even heard there is a Holy Spirit. It's like, how could that happen? Already back then. So then, you know, he said to them, into what then were you baptized? He kind of questioned about it because it was such a big thing. You have to think about what, you know, the time that, going on. And he said to them, oh, into John's baptism, the baptism of repentance. So then Paul said, he baptizes with the baptism of repentance, but then he should believe on him who came after him, that is on Christ. So when he had heard the baptism into the name of the Lord Jesus, so then Paul laid his hands on them, and then the Holy Spirit fell upon them. See, there's a lot of different teaching out there where you're born again, and then they talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Oh, you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit when you're born again. Yes, you received the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All. But there's a baptism of power. And even when the Holy Spirit fell in Acts chapter 2, they didn't go out and perform any miracles, signs, or wonders until they received that. And that's a transforming baptism. And praying in tongues is just a gift of that power. You know, it's not anything special, but I think a lot of times, you know, in this generation where that part of that is not being taught, and there are a lot of older people and stuff that have not been taught that. I'm not saying about this church, but a lot of places where I talk to other people who are born again, they've not even heard of that, or they don't believe in that, or they're afraid of that because of some bad teaching. But I think it's what you were preaching on. If you want more of Christ and you want more of the power of God, then I think the baptism of the Holy Spirit is an essential part of Christ saying to you, in my last will and testament, now I give you the authority to use my name. And that's how it's done. That's how I answer.
Yeah. Amen. Exactly. Anybody else? Yeah, let's pray with the Lord. If any one of you feel to pray, go ahead.
Dear Father, we thank you for being our Holy One who can intercede in our life and intervene and stand up for us, Lord, and be our strength when we can.
Yes.
We thank you for not only being our Savior, which is so amazing in and of itself, but Lord, just being our strength in this ugly world when we have such difficult decisions to make, Lord, and we're supposed to be your soldiers and be the light, and it's so hard to do without you, Lord. And we just thank you. We ask that you come into each one of us, each one of our lives.